My friends in Jesus, grace be to you and peace from God, our Father, and from our Lord and Savior. Amen. Again, the word of God from the third chapter of the Gospel of St. John, especially the first 8 verses. A Pharisee named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews, came to Jesus by night and said to him, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him." Jesus answered him, "Truly, truly I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Nicodemus said to him, "How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born?" Jesus answered, "Truly, truly I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I say to you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear its sound, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit." This is the word of God. Please be seated. Well, this story would be a whole lot easier to take, the story about Nicodemus coming to Jesus in the night. It would be a lot easier for us to stomach if Nicodemus hadn't been such a paragon of virtue and such a great pillar of the church and of morality. If he had been, if he had been a fugitive from justice with a long rap sheet of troublemaking and law-breaking, it'd be a lot easier for us to understand what Jesus is saying to him. "Well, yeah, Nicodemus, of course, you scoundrel, you. You need a new birth. You need a new beginning, a fresh start on life." But Nicodemus isn't a scoundrel. Just the opposite. He's Mr. Moral Good Guy. He is a leader in the church, an upstanding citizen. He's the kind of person you wish you could be, or you wish your children could be. He's so good that, he's going to slide like salt butter in a hot skillet right into the kingdom of God, just as smooth and as easy as that. If you had known Nicodemus, it would have been inconceivable to you that a man like him could possibly be rejected by God. If Nicodemus needed anything at all, it certainly wasn't a whole new birth. Maybe a little bit of remodeling here and there, a light coat of paint to cover up whatever tiny little blemishes he may have had on his life. But his parents, they were proud of Nicodemus. Maybe at a younger age, Nicodemus was the kid that the other kids razzed about being Mr. Goody Two-Shoes. And maybe they even tried to goad him into doing something mischievous just to see if they could get him to be naughty. But now, as an adult, he is a man of impeccable moral character. And he has unquestioned religious credentials. And yet, Jesus stops him dead in his tracks. And he tells him that all of this purported goodness of his means nothing. And he tells Nicodemus, it's not just a tweaking of your life that you need. It's not just a little bit of remodeling here and there. But you need to die to what you are, and you need to be started over again. And I said it that way intentionally. He did not say you need to start over again, as if trying to revamp his life is going to end up in anything, any kind of a different outcome. But he says you need to be started over again. You need to be born. And in the Greek, that's a passive verb. You don't do this to yourself. You don't rebirth yourself. It happens to you. Just like your birth into the flesh in this world did not happen. You didn't do that. It happened to you. You were born. We all need to be born again. to be started over. But this time, not flesh from flesh, but spirit from spirit, born from above, born from God. And this is where, God love them, but this is where our fundamentalist friends in the fundamentalist churches get off track. They see this new birth that Jesus talks about as a decision that they make. And usually, it's a decision that is made in an emotionally charged religious service or setting or at a concert. They decided to respond to an altar call. They got up out of their seats. They went down. They took the steps forward. They prayed the sinner's prayer. They gave their hearts to Jesus. It was all their doing. They took all those steps. It was their decision. And in effect, they gave birth to themselves. But that's kind of like, you know, walking up to the OB floor at the hospital where a baby has been born with one of those big Mylar congratulations helium balloons, you know, and giving that balloon to the baby. No, you don't congratulate the baby. You welcome the baby. You congratulate the parents. You don't get credit for your own birth. Unless you're of this fundamentalist bent, they do take the credit. They made that decision. They took those steps. They got up out of their seat. They prayed the prayer. And then they point back to that moment in their life and that decision as the evidence that they are born again. And if you do not have a moment like that in your life, if all you claim is, I am baptized and believe, then they are seriously doubtful of your born-again credentials. In their mind, the assurance of their salvation goes back to that decision that they made. It goes back to that prayer that they prayed. It goes back to that altar call that they responded to. And hopefully, for their sake, hopefully that decision was sincere enough, and hopefully it resulted in a life pious enough to qualify them for a place in the kingdom. How's that for comfort on your deathbed? That's the kind of theology that completely upends the teaching of Jesus Christ. By definition, birth is not something you do for yourself. That's why John says in the first chapter of his gospel that we are born not of the flesh or of the will of men, but of God. And that's how we believe and receive. And that's how we become the children of God, he says in that chapter. That's why Jesus uses this kind of language, precisely to put aside any thought that you do this. It's not a decision that you make. It's not an altar call that you respond to. It's not a new leader that you follow, and then you put his principles into action in your life and try to do better. That's just a bunch of whitewash on a tomb. It might look good, but it's still full of death. Like Nicodemus, we don't need just a change in our lives. We need a change of our lives. We don't need to be refurbished. We need to be refathered. Unless one is born again, born from above, he cannot see the kingdom of God. To be born again is to receive as the gift of God an entirely new existence. A whole new nature. A brand new heart. Luther preached these words. He says, the Christian message informs us that to begin with, we must become wholly different persons. New birth is not about what you must do or not do, but it is about what you must become. Not a different life, but a different birth. To be born again is to be given life from scratch, from the beginning, and from a power outside of yourself that acts upon you to make this new birth happen. Now, of course, Nicodemus doesn't get any of this. He's you know, self-righteous. He thinks of new life as something that he creates. What does he need a new birth for? He's a good man. And he too has made his decision to follow God and to put his principles into action in his life. And he's dedicated his life to God. What does he need a new birth for? And yet to him the Lord says, you must be born of water and the Spirit. And I'm constantly amazed how our fundamentalist friends miss this obvious point. The new birth involves water and Spirit. These are the ingredients that are given to us by the one maker and baker of new hearts and lives. Water and Spirit. Water and Spirit. Listen to Luther again. He says, if you want salvation, you will need different parents who will bring you to heaven. Your first parents brought you into the world through your birth. Flesh gives birth to flesh. But your new parents bring you to heaven through the new birth of water and the Spirit in your baptism. That blessed washing of renewal and regeneration in the Spirit that Paul talks about in Titus. With that splash of baptismal water, your new Father gives you the gift of His one and only Son. And your new mother, the Church, takes you into her arms as a child to nourish you in the life of Jesus Christ by His gospel, by the sacraments. First, your new mother gave you the milk of the Word, those eternal saving truths about Christ crucified for us, for the forgiveness of our sins, for securing a place for us in heaven. For all who trust in His sacrifice, all who believe in Him will be saved. And then, as you mature, she seeks to give you more and more mature food, the meat of the Word, with ever-increasing knowledge of His Word and His gospel and His will for your living, living that faith day by day by day. One preacher said it this way. He said, before I was ever a born-again believer, God made me a born-again receiver. There's a lot of truth there. In the new birth, the Spirit, working in the water, created the new me, the new you, entirely new creatures with new hearts, creatures that could now have faith and could receive the good gifts of God in Christ and believe His gospel of salvation and blessed peace and hope and joy. And so the words of 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 3 are true and they are eternal. By God's grace and mercy, not by a decision of yours, not by a response to an altar call, not by a prayer prayed, but by the mercy and the grace of God, we have been born anew into the living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved. Baptized and believing the gospel every day now. Every day we walk in this newness of our birth and of a new life. And it's all His doing. And because it's His doing, it is also our rock-solid comfort and our assurance. To Him be the praise, who gave us this new birth of water and Spirit, and who now enables and strengthens us to go forth as His people and to walk in that newness today and tomorrow and to the end of our lives. To Christ be praise. Amen. May the peace of God that is beyond all understanding guard and keep your hearts and your minds in Christ unto life everlasting. Amen.